CEO Ken Lay took Enron to the top of the energy trading business. With bankruptcy, reorganization, and multi-billion-dollar lawsuits, he's trying to bring it back from the bottom. NPR's Emily Harris reports on the man behind Enron.
Fans of Enron chief Ken Lay still believe in him. Take Chase Untermyer, director of government affairs for Houston-based Compaq, where Lay is a board member. Untermyer also knows Lay through political, civic, and philanthropic activities. He says Lay exemplifies Houston's can-do spirit.
And in the past decade, it's also been a can-do attitude, where people turn to Ken Lay to take on leadership of an effort to build a baseball stadium or pass a bond issue or lead a campaign of one sort or another.
But Lay's leadership abilities also appear to have helped build a company's self-image of invincibility that contributed to its downfall. And people on the losing end of Enron's deals say Lay is no angel. Democratic California State Senator Steve Peace says Enron's high-flying growth won Lay undeserved faith in his vision of trading energy like pork bellies.
Lay was sort of the mullah of competition, and he had a very extremist view. It was sort of, in my view, kind of a strange sort of combination of intelligence, sophistication, and naivety, because I think he really believed in what he was pitching.
Lay retained faith in his company as questions about off-the-books debt and unusual financial arrangements began to surface this summer. He told an analyst conference call he had full confidence in one top executive just a day before that person was fired. Professor Steve Corral teaches corporate governance at Rice University in Houston. He says Enron's board and Lay's underlings must at least share the blame.
CEOs don't actually do the work. They hire the people who do the work. And they coach them and mentor them and evaluate them and oversee them and so on. And it appears that that whole system had broken down to some degree, because I think the true poor decisions that got Enron in this situation appear to be made by folks below Ken.
Some details apparently overlooked by Enron's CEO may not be crucial. For example, Lay's entry in Who's Who for the past 10 years has listed him as receiving a prestigious Guggenheim Fellowship. Information for Who's Who is provided by the people listed. No Guggenheim Foundation has such a record. But other oversights could affect a variety of investigations. Last week, a New York Times report quoted Lay saying, "You're getting way over my head," when pressed last August on details of confusing off-the-books partnerships. What exactly Lay knew about company affairs is of great interest to Fred Isquith, a lawyer working on one of multiple fraud-related lawsuits seeking damages from Enron and its executives, including Lay.
There's really no distinction between him personally and him as CEO. It's his role as CEO that makes him personally responsible. Over the course of the good times, Mr. Lay and senior management seems to have done very, very nicely, making tens of millions of dollars. I don't imagine that it's all been frivoled away.
Lay has spent part of his considerable fortune on generous political contributions. He's a close friend of President Bush. Craig McDonald is director of Texans for Public Justice, a political influence watchdog group.
Clearly, we haven't yet heard the words that Enron is too big to fail coming out of the White House, but it might play out as the Enron demise plays out over a longer period of time. There are some SEC investigations underway, and there may be more.
When he was meeting with Vice President Cheney last spring to discuss energy policy, Lay seemed like a man on top of the world. Writer Mimi Swartz of the Texas Monthly thought she saw a different picture at a press conference 3 weeks ago, when Lay and Dynegy CEO Chuck Watson appeared together to announce a now-canceled merger.
Chuck Watson got up there and he was talking about this wonderful merger that was going to happen, and then he turned to introduce Lay, and Lay bent over and pulled up his socks. And it was this sort of, it was a humbling moment. I mean, I'm not even sure he was conscious of how it telegraphed, but he had been the most powerful, you know, one of the most powerful men in the world.
The classic Texas energy entrepreneur picks up and rebuilds after even colossal failures. For now, Lay will be busy with years of court cases, starting with the fight to keep his beloved company alive. Emily Harris, NPR News, Washington.